Thank you, Pat. Beautiful song. And speaking of music, last week I was in my office working here in the church, and I decided to get a little nostalgic, and I got out some of my old CDs from when I was in high school and when I was in college, and was playing some music from the early 90s, and I popped in one CD. It was from DC Talk. Some of you might remember that group back in the early 90s. They were something else. And the name of the album I stuck in and was one of the main songs of the album is, they have a song called New Thing. It talks about how God's constantly wanting to do a new thing in your life. And if you allow him to do it, God's always doing something new. And it got me thinking that, God is always about doing new things. If you pay attention to the Old Testament, New Testament, God's constantly doing new things in people's lives, even to the point where he gives them new names. I mean, we have Abram in the Old Testament. All of a sudden, God says, I'm going to give you a new name, Abraham. Some of these people, they received their heavenly names while they were here on earth. Simon, he was given his heavenly name. Petra, Peter, before he got to go home to heaven. God was constantly doing new things in people. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Jesus said, I'm making all things new. You see that word new all the time in the Old Testament, New Testament. And I think sometimes as Christians, we maybe get a little stuck where we are, or we may feel like we're not growing, or maybe we're not getting as close to God as we want to. And I think sometimes maybe we're not paying attention to what God's doing new in our lives. God doesn't want you to be stuck in a rut. God doesn't want you doing something for the next 50 years if you're going to be miserable in it. Now, there may be some ministries out there where God wants you there for the next 50 years because you're the best one at it and you find joy in it, and amen to that. But there are other things in life that God moves us on to, and a lot of times it's very unexpected. Mary and I, we decided we were going to raise a couple children for God, and he blessed us with a couple kids, and we were getting towards the end of that and getting excited for the new stage in life that was coming, and God said, you know what? I got a new thing for you. And he put that in the package, and we called it Jaden. And we were on a new adventure with Jaden now, same with different ministries and stuff. So you may be doing one ministry, and then all of a sudden God said, you know what? I've got something new for you. I want you in leadership. I want you in church leadership. I want you in Sunday school teaching. I want you doing something else. He may have something new for you. And I want to talk about this morning because Isaiah chapter 43, I was listening to that song and it brought me right back to Isaiah, where God, if you don't know Isaiah, you can count Isaiah as probably the fifth gospel of Jesus Christ. It's full of stuff, prophesying about the coming Messiah and how God's going to do something. And God all of a sudden says, you know what? I'm going to do a new thing here. Something as huge is going to happen. In Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, God says through Isaiah, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See. Whenever God says see or pay attention or look, highlight that in your Bible. He said that this is going to be a big statement. He says, see, I am doing a new thing! Exclamation point. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. See, I am doing a new thing. We're going to read that scripture quite often throughout this sermon because I want it in your head and maybe memorized by the end of this morning. See, Isaiah's writings to the children of Israel came at a very bleak period in their history. The children of Israel, they're always going through hills and valleys. And this is a very bleak time in their history. They are in captivity. Israel has lost everything that they thought they would have and keep forever. And they were homesick for the land and the blessing God had promised to them. And here God's telling them through Isaiah, forget the former things. I'm going to do a new thing, or I am doing a new thing. And this morning I want us to pay attention in our life. It's not just for the Israelites. God wants to do something new with you. You're going to go through a lot of different life changes. Spouses are going to come and go. Children are going to come and go. Friends are going to come and go. Things that happen in church ministries come and go sometimes, depending on what God's doing. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to look forward to what is God wanting to do new. Maybe in your life, in your ministry, in what you're doing today. So the first step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in your life, number one, is to change your focus. In other words, quit looking behind and start looking ahead. Verse 18 there, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. If you are continually looking behind, you cannot see where you're going. And that can be good stuff or bad stuff. Constantly paying attention to past victories, past great things that God's done for you, or you can be focused on, you know, some miseries or some things that maybe even God brought you through. But it's all right to every once in a while pay attention to what God has done in the past, because it allows us to trust him more today and in the future. But what God's saying is, forget about that though. I'm constantly doing new things. Pay attention to what I'm doing today. Pay attention to what I'm doing in the world today. That's why it's so important to pay attention to world missions. Nancy does a great job of updating us with the few that we are involved in. But pay attention to what God's doing all over the world. He's constantly doing new things. The gospel message is being brought in new places throughout the world. Be praying for your brothers and sisters in China right now. Be praying for your brothers and sisters in Iran. The gospel message is being spread huge in Iran right now. And the Christian church is growing miraculously. To pay attention to these new things God's doing. If you're ever going to move on to the new things in Christ, we first must have to learn that you cannot depend upon past victories to sustain you today. And sometimes we want to do that in life, to just kind of pay attention to our past victories and ride those as long as we can. And if we ride them too long, we get very frustrated with God and say, you know what, you did this with me 10 years ago. You performed that miracle with me, or you made me a Sunday school teacher, or you made me a church leader 20 years, whatever the case may be, and you ride that. And if we're going to experience new things in Christ, we cannot depend on those past victories to continue to sustain us for the rest of our time here on planet Earth. God says, forget the former things. See, the children of Israel had many victories in their past. We like to focus on the dumb things they did, which Israel did a lot of dumb things. We do dumb things all the time when it comes to ignoring God or forgetting about God's commands. But Israel did a lot of good things. They had a lot of huge victories with God. Leaving Egypt, that whole Exodus with Moses, that was a huge victory for Israel. Israel waited hundreds of years for God to deliver them, and it happened. Their conquering of the land of Canaan was a huge victory for the people of Israel. They listened to God, did exactly what he told them to, and they experienced this huge victory when they conquered the land of Canaan. Fighting off prospective conquerors, constantly Israel was being under attack. God told them that, you're my people, you're going to be constantly under attack. And they had many, many victories over prospective conquerors of their land and of their people. And God gave them those victories. They survived a split in their country because of God. But now they are in captivity, where we are here in Isaiah chapter 43. They're in captivity, and all their previous victories were doing nothing for them at this time. Nothing to set them free. So they needed a new work, a new miracle, a new victory in God. See, their past victories were not going to free them today. Same thing goes with us. Our past victories are not going to move us ahead or move us forward in Jesus Christ. The question isn't, what has God done? We got to be asking the question, what is God doing in your life right now? Pay attention to that. When you have your daily prayers, your nightly prayer, whenever you choose to speak with God, ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart, open your mind. What are you doing right now in my life, God? What do you want to do right now in my life? Instead of freaking out about something new, what is it God has in store for you? Yeah, I had my freak out moment when Jaden was coming. After things settled down, we sat down and asked God, okay, what are we doing here? What's the plan? Same thing with ministry change or job change. What are you doing here, God? What's the new thing that's going to be happening? What is it that you want him to do in your life right now? Don't be afraid to ask that with God. If you have something you're passionate about, ask God, can you get me more heavily involved in that? If you're watching a ministry happen in the community or ministry opportunity in church or in your family or whatever, God, I see you moving. I see you moving with Starting Point and the wonderful things they're doing. How can I get involved in that? Father, I see what you're doing with Round Lake and the ministry that's going on in that camp, and it's just growing. How can I be involved in that? Eyes, whatever you've come up with or whatever you're passionate about. Ask God to show your heart, show your mind what he's doing with that ministry. And maybe he does have a place for you, something new for you to do in there. Secondly, in order to move on to the new things in Christ, you must know that you cannot allow your past failures to possess you. We can't ride our victories, and we definitely can't allow our past failures to possess who you are and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. God says again, do not dwell on the past. You're going to hear me say that a couple times this morning. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. As many victories as they had in God, they failed God miserably. Every time he blessed them with good things, they returned to him with evil things. You pay attention to the Old Testament. God gave them the temple. What'd they do with it? They gave him idol worship. God gave them truth. They lived and proclaimed a lie for many, many years. God gave him his commands, and they lived like they were just suggestions. Boy, we do that sometimes. God gave them wealth, and they used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself, and they gave him nothing except rejection over and over and over again. Every time God tried to do something new or gave them a blessing, they returned it a lot of times with evil. The children of Israel did not deserve to receive anything from God. Yet he still loved them, and he earnestly wanted to change them. And you notice God's message here. To these people who constantly failed God, who constantly turned his good works towards them and their blessings of them into evil, God says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing today. That's the best part of each new day. You wake up morning and God gave you a brand new day. No matter how much you messed up yesterday, no matter how much you had victory yesterday, today's a new day. And God says, watch, I'm going to do something new today if you'll let me. God was not condemning them for their past, which he could have. They could do nothing to change it, just like us. There's not a thing we can do about yesterday. Instead, God was holding out the hand of hope, as he does with us today through Jesus Christ. He is in effect saying, forget about your past. I'm going to give you an opportunity to start all over today when I decide to do something new. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. If you're going to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you've also got to understand that you cannot live on yesterday's faith. Not just victories, not just failures. You can't even live on yesterday's faith. Why? Because your faith ought to be growing. Hopefully your faith is a whole lot different than it was last Thanksgiving or four Thanksgivings ago. The children of Israel had experienced great spiritual blessings throughout their history, from the first Passover to the crossing of the Red Sea, to the conquering of the land of Israel, or of Canaan, to the building of the temple. The children of Israel had seen the hand of God at work many, many times over throughout their lives. Yet their faith in what God had done was doing nothing, nothing to deliver them from their captives here. Their old faith was not sufficient enough to deliver them from their present problems. Same thing goes with us today. They needed new faith, a new vision for what God could do in them, with them, and for them. They needed a new portion of the faith that had brought to pass all the victories from before. We can't rely on the faith of our parents, the faith of our grandparents. And that's a good start sometimes. You know, I started my relationship with Jesus because of the faith of my parents and the faith of my grandmother. They brought me to a knowledge and understanding of Jesus. I didn't think mom and dad were lying to me. And a lot of my faith started out with mom and dad's faith. But as you walk with God, you experience God, and you find new things with God, your faith changes. My dad's a great example of that. My dad grew up in church, in a different denomination. And I'm not saying all people from another denomination are destined to hell. They're not. There's wonderful people that have wonderful relationships with Jesus Christ. But my dad was going nowhere in his walk with God until he was in college. I think he was a junior in college. He started reading the Bible for himself, finding his own faith. And all of a sudden, God was doing something new in his life, woke him up spiritually. Said, I got a plan for you. And what you're in is not the plan. Your old faith is not what's going to carry you into the future. And that's the same with anybody. You got to allow God to start doing new things with your faith today. Psalms 85, I love Psalms 85, verses 6 through 8. Says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Those words, revive us again. Father, renew my spirit. Renew my faith in you today. Don't allow me to ever get weak. In times where I'm questioning you, God, I may not have all the answers, and not that I want to just follow you blindly, Lord. But renew my faith today. Grow my faith today. Show me more of you. I loved when Moses asked God, show me your glory. Show me your face. Moses wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see the glory of God. Don't we seek that out? Don't we want to see the glory of God? And God's given us this wonderful gift of Jesus, where we get to see God, not physically. That's not going to happen until we see him in his full glory. But we get to see the character of God today. We get to see the heart of God today. We get to see the will and the purpose of God today. We know what brings him joy. We know what brings him sorrow through the life of Jesus Christ, his son. So we cannot live on yesterday's faith. You will get burned out and you will start questioning God, and that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Ask God today to renew your faith in him today, to revive you. Don't ever allow yourself to be stuck wherever it is you're stuck in your faith. The second step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in your life is to clarify your focus. In other words, discover what God wants for you. God created us all. He created us all in his image. And yes, he gives us basic understanding of how we are to worship him, how we are to love him, how we are to love others. But God has specific purposes and specific wills for each and every one of your lives. Your purpose is different than mine. Now, we all have the same purpose of glorifying God. But here on earth, God has different plans. He has different avenues of doing ministry. You have access to people and to love people that I will never have access to, and vice versa. Again, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That word perceive means to know by seeing, or to care, or to recognition, acknowledge, aware of, to understand. See, I am doing a new thing. It means perceive. That Hebrew word means perceive, to know by seeing. Question being is, what do you see when you view your life? What do you perceive when you view your own life in Jesus Christ? Do you see possibilities? Or are you constantly seeing problems that need to be conquered? Notice what God said. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Looks like a whole lot of possibilities. Not a whole lot of problems. God's not in the business of making problems. The world's good enough at that. We're good enough at that. But pay attention on how you view life and how you view your walk with God. Is it a constant struggle every day where you're focused completely on problems? Or do you wake up every morning looking at possibilities? What is God going to do with me today? What is God going to do with the church today? What is God going to do with my family today to serve Him? How am I going to bring glory and honor to Him today? The children of Israel had a choice. They could view their past and their problems of their present, or they could focus on what God wanted to do in their lives today. You have that same choice. To focus on the problems of the past, or even the problems you may perceive that are going to happen today. That would make you a worrier. Don't worry, I'm one of those. I can identify. God wants to do a new thing, and He wants to change that worry and to have you paying attention to possibilities. We can look at things as God's providing a way, or we can focus on the desert. We can focus on streams that God's making, or we can focus on the wasteland. Let me tell you, because I've been there, you focus on the wasteland, it can become very depressing and very empty real quick. And it can become very hopeless. You may have a very hopeless feeling if you concentrate on the wasteland. God says, forget about that. I'm going to provide streams in the middle of the wasteland. In order to discover what God wants for you, you must first see yourself as God sees you. That's important. Forget about how you see yourself. That's not how God sees you. The children of Israel felt as though they were getting just what they deserved because of the way they had lived. And it's easy to live that way. Woe is me. How is God ever going to use me? I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through death. I'm going through financial problems. I'm going through this. I'm getting exactly what I deserve. That's not how God views you. You are loved and are loved by the Most High God. You were paid for at a very high price. He loved you enough to lay His Son's life down for you, even when you were a sinner. You may feel like your past has made your life a wasteland, but in God, your life can become a stream of life, not just for you, but for others. We get so focused on me, we forget that God wants to use me to affect others to His glory. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I hope you heard that. And I hope you can identify that with that. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I would venture to say 99% of you sitting here today are in Christ Jesus. That means there is no condemnation for you, which means anything that happens to you here on planet Earth is not to God getting back at you. sticking it to you. God doesn't dwell on the past. Your past is gone. It's history. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ. He says, focus on the new stuff. Focus on what I'm doing today. Colossians 1:21 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's how God views you. No matter how low you think you are or undeserving you are of God's love and his use of you in ministry, God says you are holy, you are blameless, and you are above reproach. Act like it. Live like it. Approach the throne of God like that. Accept ministry like that. Not with your head down saying, I'm not worthy of that. That's something the preacher needs to do. That's something the elders need to do. That's something the deacons need to do. Let me tell you, the preacher, the elders, and the deacons, they were full of sin just like you. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we too are now holy, blameless, and above reproach, just like you. In order to discover what God wants for you, you must see your possibilities as God sees them. Not just how God sees you, but you've got to see the possibilities God has for you. To open your eyes through the gift of the Holy Spirit of what are the possibilities for you. God says, I am making a way in the desert, which means God is able to transform the desert areas of your life into fields of blessing and abundance. Whether you're stuck in sin or what you like to call a bad habit or an addiction or whatever the case may be, God can take a dried up, useless life and transform it into a life of purpose and a life of grace. That's miraculous. No matter how stuck you think you are, God can pull you out of that. Don't forget, you are stuck in a pit of death with no way out. And through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus was able to pull you out of that pit into a life, not just a life, but a life of abundance, an everlasting life, glorifying God. So you got to understand your possibilities. Look how God transformed. Some of the illustrations Keith used at his communion meditation were wonderful. Look how God transformed David's life. Look how God transformed Solomon's life. Look how he transformed Peter's life, Paul's life. If those guys were just stuck in their past lives and paid no attention to the possibility that, hey, God can do something great here, we wouldn't have those great men and women in the faith today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's where your possibility comes from. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are freed from your past self. You are free from your past sin. You are free from the sin you committed yesterday. So you have that, which means there are new possibilities for you today. There is new opportunity for growth for you today. There are new opportunities for you to love in the name of Jesus today. The greatest step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in your life, if you're following along in your bulletin, number 3, commit yourself now to God's plan. Commit yourself to God's plan. God had already set into motion the events and people who would lead Israel out of captivity and back into the land of blessing. They were stuck here. They were in captivity right here in Isaiah 43. But God already had a plan. But it was still up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. God had a plan. He already had the right people and the right events set up. But they still had to decide, are we going to allow God to do that? If they refused God's plan, if they refused to follow where God was leading, then they would be doomed to remain in their captivity forever. Same with us. If we choose to just be stuck, if we choose to just say, I'm no good, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, you're quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. That's dangerous stuff, folks. That's disobedience. I'm going to say it one more time. God says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Folks, God has already set into motion a new direction and a new purpose for your life. Already happening. Question is, are you going to follow him? Will you believe him? Will you trust him? And will you go where he tells you to go? And will you do what he tells you to do? Psalms 95, 7 and 8, last one I'm going to give you this morning. Says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What that basically says is God is God, and you are not. God is God, and you are his servants. God is God, and you are his children. God is God, and you are the object of his love and affection. Will you follow him? Will you hear him? Will you listen to him? And will you go and do? The invitation this morning is pretty simple. Are you going to commit yourself to God's plan for your life? That's the question. Am I going to commit myself to God's plan for my life? Am I going to allow God to do something new in me? For some of you, it's taking the very first step. Am I going to allow God to cleanse me of all my sin, all my filth, all my hurt, all my destruction that I've led up to today, that I've allowed in my life? Am I going to let him cleanse me from that? We do so by running up here, grasping a hold of God's grace, his mercy, accepting that, being baptized in his baptism, and allow him to do a new thing in you, to rip out your old heart and put a new heart, a heart of purity, a heart of love, and a heart of joy, to remove your life of sin and give you a life of purpose and will. For those of you that already took that first step and you've been walking and you've been walking, are you paying attention to what God wants to do with you today? Maybe something new. Not maybe, probably. Something new. Are you going to commit yourself to God's plan today? Let's respond to that this morning. We're going to sing Revive Us, O Lord. What an appropriate song. And make that your prayer this morning. Ask God today to revive in you a passion to grow, a passion to try something new. God may want you to be in leadership. God might want you to be a follower right now, a learner right now, a teacher right now, whatever the case may be. Those things are already in motion. Will you accept them? And will you commit to God today to obey those things? Let's stand and let's pray that prayer that we're about ready to sing this morning.